We here are all such innovative people. So I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that.
And I am doing this. What is this, you might ask? Well, this is the podcast known as What's the Good Word. I am your host, Joshua Julian, and first of all, thank you for joining me. Thank you for coming along on this ride where we are doing the one-stop shop podcast for anything and everything. Atlanta sports. If you need Falcons news, I got you. If you need Braves news, I got you. If you need Hawks news, I got you. We even cover Georgia Tech because they're in the city of Atlanta. We don't talk about UGA because they're not in the city of Atlanta. They're over in some podunk town named Athens or something. Either way, one-stop shop for all Atlanta sports teams. Thank you for coming along on this journey. This is the Falcons episode, and you know we're a couple weeks away from the draft, right? Last week, we talked about edge defenders that the Falcons could be targeting in this draft, kind of a breakdown of the edge group, who we could be looking at. And today, we're going to be looking at cornerbacks. Those are the two biggest needs on this Falcons roster right now. They need an edge rusher to kind of solidify the group, and then they need a number two cornerback to play next to A.J. Terrell. And A.J. Terrell is on the last year of his contract, so maybe take over for A.J. Terrell. We don't know, but we're going to figure it out. So, in today's episode, we will be looking first at a mock draft that was done by The Athletic in the last day or two, specifically a mock draft done by Nick Bumgardner. Talk about the Falcons picks, kind of break down thoughts, feelings, opinions on that, and then we're going to do an in-depth dive at cornerback. We're going to look at some cornerbacks that are in free agency, as well as some edges that are still available in free agency, just because the Falcons don't have a ton of money left, but they could free up some money if they need to by restructuring Jake Matthews' contract, Grady Jarrett's contract. They've done that multiple times. Cutting a guy here and there, they can save a couple million dollars and get themselves up to where they could potentially sign someone. As of now, I think, including their rookie class, they have like $3 million under the cap. So they won't really be able to make a big-time move, but if they restructure, they could. So we'll talk about some potential guys, at least so that you know who is available and who is out there on the open market. But first, we're going to talk about this mock draft, because that is the most important part. That is the easiest way for the Falcons to add talent right now, is in the draft, because they have their picks. So the Falcons are picking at number 8. I think that that's well understood and well publicized. In this mock draft, the Atlanta Falcons trade up. That's right, trade up. They move up to number 5. Move up, the Chargers move back, and in exchange for moving up, the Falcons send pick number 43, their second-round pick this year, and a 2025 mid-round pick, I would assume that's like a third or a fourth, to the Chargers for number 5. Now, who do they move up to grab? Well, in the first 4 picks of this draft, you go Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2, Jaden Daniels 3, and then J.J. McCarthy 4. J.J. McCarthy did go to the Vikings in this one. The Vikings trade up from number 11 and number 23. They use both of those picks and a future first to get to number 4. That's a lot to give up, but they're getting their quarterback. So the Falcons look at the board in this case, and they go, well, there's 4 quarterbacks gone. We have the pick of the litter. We can get whoever we want right here. And so they move up, and they don't take an edge rusher. They don't take a cornerback. They take Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver out of Ohio State, the Ohio State University. And let me tell you, I will be completely honest. If this happens, I'm all for it. Like, I am all for it. I like Drake London. I like Darnell Mooney. I like Kyle Pitts. If you get Marvin Harrison Jr., I think Marvin Harrison's your number one receiver next year. Marvin Harrison Jr. is one of the best wide receiver prospects that we've ever seen coming out of college. He is unreal. He's like 6'3", 6'4", 210 pounds. Fantastic in jump ball situations, really good at tracking the ball. He's also pretty explosive in the open field. He can get you some yards after the catch. He can get some yak for you if you need it. He's a good route runner. He's got good hands. There is genuinely nothing that Marvin Harrison Jr. can't do on a football field. There's a reason that if you look at almost any other big board, if you look at any big board across any NFL draft analysts, publications, he is normally the number one overall prospect. The only reason he does not go number one overall is because quarterbacks are so important, and it's rare to have a franchise one, so everybody wants to get one. If the Falcons are able to move up to get Marvin Harrison Jr., it is well worth the cost, because at that point you have built a Death Star. It's almost similar to last year, except even more in the quarterback's advantage. At that point, as the quarterback, all you have to do is push the right buttons, right? Just make the right read and throw it to the open gap, because you're going to have Marvin Harrison on one side, you're going to have Drake London on the other, Kyle Pitts moving all around the formation, and Darnell Mooney there to take the top off of defense if you need him. Plus Bijan and Tyler Algier in the backfield. I mean, there will be so much explosion from that offense. Now, moving up and trading your second-round pick, I'm not the biggest fan of, especially when you have a couple holes on defense. So in that case, I can understand sort of the hesitation to do this. And it, as with everything, you know, it's a bit of a give and a take. I'm willing to do it because, again, it completely stacks your skill position, and it builds in almost a fail-safe just in case, you know, Kyle Pitts isn't the same. Kyle Pitts doesn't ever really get back from the knee injury, or Drake London kind of regresses, or Drake London just turns out to be a very, very solid wide receiver and not like a number one target. It builds in a fail-safe just in case that happens. You're kind of hedging your bets almost of like, hey, one of these guys is going to become a dominant force, right? And then it's just up to the other guys to fill in the gaps. So, and you're only giving up a second-round pick and a future pick next year, like a mid-round pick. That's not a bad price to pay for the best wide receiver prospect, at least that I've seen, coming out of college. I mean, I think he's better than Ja'Marr Chase as a prospect. That's how good he is. So in that case, the Falcons do trade their second-round pick, so we do not have a second-round pick to talk about in this mock draft, but we do have third-round picks, number 74 and number 79 in this, one of them being from Jacksonville in the Calvin Ridley trade, and one of them being the Falcons. And with the Falcons' own pick, they take Chris Braswell, the edge out of Alabama. We talked about him a little bit on the last week's show. Just a brief recap, he is an edge defender. He did have, I think, 8 to 10 sacks last year at Alabama. He's a very good pass rusher. He's a good athlete. The issue is run defense. He is not well prepared to be a run defender at all. He had 8 sacks last year for Alabama, 3 forced fumbles, only 17 total tackles. And that comes from Alabama was taking him off the field in obvious rundowns. I mean, it was very much like they were protecting him from the run. So you do not grab him expecting him to come in and, you know, stop the run game. You bring him in as a guy to stop the opposing pass. So looking at the scouting report that I've got in front of me, he's 6'3", 251. So he's got that good size that you're looking for. He's not super skinny, but he's not like too big. He's got good speed to win around the edge. He's also got multiple moves already. It's noted that he has a rip move, a cross chop, the long arm, and an arm over. Plus, he's also a solid bull rusher with some counter moves off that. So he's a technically refined pass rusher. He's got moves. It's not just like he's pure speed or he's a pure athlete or he's pure strength. He's also got decent bend. The issue is that out of a three-point stance, he's very slow getting off, which wouldn't be an issue. I think with the Falcons, he'd be an outside linebacker, so he'd be standing up. His lateral movement skills and block recognition are pointed out as being a big weakness. He doesn't have great upper body strength at the point of attack, so below average change of direction, and his hands specifically, work in progress, accuracy and timing, to specifically single that out. So you bring him in as a third down specialist in a 3-4, which is what the Falcons have, which is what the Falcons need. So you at least bring him in as a role player. You're kind of hoping at this point that Arnold Ebiketie takes a step forward and you're able to, you know, he develops, and so he's your number one pass rusher, and then everybody else kind of fills in behind him, and Chris Braswell is one of those guys. The other guy that gets taken in this draft is Chris Abrams-Drain at pick number 79. He's a cornerback out of Missouri, and we were going to talk about him on this episode, in fact. So he is 6 foot, 179 pounds, very small. He ran a 4.44 40-yard dash, so, you know, he's a decent enough athlete. That's the first thing mentioned in the scouting report, is he's a smooth athlete, great twitch, fluid hips, good agility in short area, top end speed. So he's a good athlete. Gets his head around to locate the ball, very good timing breaking up passes, and he's a willing tackler. The issue comes down to he's thin, doesn't have great strength. He can kind of get bodied on routes, and he's a rapid drag down tackler. Which would be not great anyway, because, you know, he's kind of leaking extra yards, the guy's kind of dragging him. But now with the hip drop tackle being banned, you run the risk of, if he drags him down in a certain way, you're going to get flagged. So, something to keep an eye on. But he's coming out of Missouri. It was one of those black and gold teams. He was a second-team All-American in 2023, according to multiple different websites. First-team All-SEC in 2023, Jim Thorpe Award semifinalist. Pro comparison, for those that care, is Trey Brown. He's graded as a fourth-round prospect on this one, but I've seen him in the third round pretty consistently. So Falcons get some depth in this draft class that we're looking at. You know, they don't necessarily get any stars. I don't think they get any starters. And my issue with taking Chris Abrams Drain there is I think he's way too similar to Clark Phillips III, that it doesn't really make a ton of sense to go that way. For example, I mean, Kyrie Jackson goes a couple picks later. I would more take Kyrie Jackson personally, just because he's 6'3", he's got great top-end speed, and I think you're more likely to be able to use him on the outside. Same thing with, like, Cam Hart. Cam Hart goes 77 right here out of Notre Dame. Taking a bigger corner, I think, is going to be important if you're going to take a guy, because you already have two guys in D. Alford and Phillips III, who can play the slot, play the nickel, kind of play inside. You're looking for an outside corner. That's the reason you're taking corners in this draft class. It's not because of, you know, it's not because of your lack of corner depth. You've got guys out there, but you need a guy who can kind of body up the bigger receivers, because A.J. Terrell is good, but A.J. Terrell has always kind of struggled with physicality in his career, right? He's a really good corner, but when he plays like the Mike Evans types, he kind of loses those one-on-ones more often than not. So you want to get a guy that you can put on the other side who is bigger and can maybe handle some of those bigger guys, or at least deal with them, but maybe has that speed to be able to kind of... If you're taking a guy in the third round, you're kind of nitpicking, and you're not going to get everything you want. But taking another corner who is incredibly similar to Clark Phillips III is not, to me, the recipe for success. So with that out of the way, we get to talk about corners specifically, since I've already kind of rambled on for a minute or two about corners and who we're looking at. I'm going to give you some corners that are available in free agency right now, and then we're going to talk about guys in this draft class, guys that the Falcons might be looking at, either first round, second round, third round, maybe even fourth round, some late round sleepers. We'll see what we're doing here. But when you look at the guys that are currently available, there's 41 cornerbacks listed as available on spotrack.com. And there's some bigger names, but it's guys that, you know, maybe too expensive and potentially washed up. So, for example, J.C. Jackson. He got a huge deal from the Chargers a year or two ago, but then he was cut and hasn't really found... He ended up in New England again. I think he was bad there, too. Xavien Howard is available from the Dolphins, but he is 30, which is a potential, you know, dangerous age for a cornerback, and I believe he has shown a level of regression in the last couple years. You're looking at a lot of guys like that. It's a lot of, you know, middle guys that are right near 30 or right around 30, and they're either just, like, they're coming down off a peak, or they're comfortably league average. For example, Rock Ya-Sin, from Baltimore. He has been a league-average corner since he came into the league. Picking him up would not be the worst thing in the world. He is, he's a solid corner. He's got a decent frame. There's nothing wrong with him. He's just not a game-changer, right? He's more of kind of like he's a gap filler. You put him into the hole of a leaky boat, and he'll get you there, but he's not going to upgrade the boat necessarily. Stephon Gilmore, he is 33, still chugging along. He was decent last year with Dallas. He wasn't horrendous, but definitely not like a game changer. Adoree Jackson is actually one that intrigues me a little bit, just because he has been very good here and there throughout his career. He's a great athlete. But then you got, you know, guys like Cameron Sutton, Steven Nelson, Levi Wallace, Fabian Moreau, old friend Fabian. Guys like that, if it comes down to it, picking a guy up like that, I think, would be in the best entrance for the Falcons if you can get them on a cheap deal, because at minimum they provide depth, right? At minimum, you're getting a guy who can kind of rotate in and out, and you know they'll hold their own. They will not be embarrassed in this situation. So those are the main ones that are available. Again, it's a lot of role players. It's nobody like crazy good. It's nobody like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that the Falcons got him so late. But it's guys that can fill gaps, fill holes, and just kind of get you there while you're waiting on your youngsters to develop a little bit more. in terms of the draft class coming in, it's actually not a horrible cornerback class. There's at least depth, right? So you're not necessarily looking at future superstars, at least not outside of the top one or two guys. But there's some depth to this class. Like going down to number 15, you still have guys, the top 15 I can see being starters in this league. So when it comes to the first round pick, the Falcons at number 8, there's two guys that are kind of legitimate contenders for that, and it's Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo and Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. We've talked about both of those guys. I wouldn't mind either. I go back and forth on who I'd prefer. Like, I've seen some people talk about Quinion Mitchell and in very, very glowing terms, and then I've seen people talk about him as, like, a guy who survived in the MAC and he only played off coverage, so we don't know if he can play press. He's got the speed to carry a guy deep. There's some unknowns. He played really well at the Senior Bowl. Everybody he guarded at the Senior Bowl, he locked up. So I'm inclined to believe that he will be a very good corner. Terrion Arnold, coming out of Alabama, I mean, anybody coming out of Alabama, I'm willing to bet on. I mean, he got tutored by the best. Same thing with the guy right below him, another Alabama DB, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Kool-Aid is, I think, he's very refined. He's also a good punt returner, I believe. So... but he's got a good frame at 6'1", 199. He's got long arms, good burst to drive on the ball, lateral movement and press specifically, can carry him deep. The issues that you see is he's an inconsistent tackler. He face guards receivers downfield, doesn't really get his head around to find the ball. That's more technical, but, you know, that's a big deal. And then he doesn't move his feet and press at the line of scrimmage. And so he doesn't really reroute. He's just on the receiver. So he's almost defeating the purpose of press coverage. So Kool-Aid is typically mocked in the back of the first round. If the Falcons wanted to, they could trade back and grab him. If they're going DB, if they really want DB, I think they go Arnold or Mitchell in the first round. But then if you want to wait to the second round, you have guys that are just the same type of candidates to be drafted. So there's Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. I don't know if he's a corner. I think he's seen as a safety by most places. I think the Falcons should take him anyway because he looks like a Swiss Army knife. And he just ran like a 4.33 or something at his pro day. Some crazy number. I think I'm going to have a 4.43. I don't know. But either way, he's fast. He's played multiple different positions at Iowa. I would like Cooper DeJean on this team. But if you're just going pure corners, the next kind of tier, you've got guys like Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon, the guy that I just talked about. TJ Tampa, my personal favorite at that level as a corner. Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, who is incredibly fast but incredibly skinny. And then Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. On principle, I will not suggest taking a Georgia Bulldog, but unbiasedly, they're a fantastic program and they breed professional football players. So, but my personal favorite, especially second round, is TJ Tampa, 6'1", 189 out of Iowa State. Long arms, thick frame, good hips and press coverage, really good at sinking his hips, great burst, and good positioning, using the hands well, kind of keeping the receiver right around his hip, not letting him get free, and he's got good ball skills. The only negatives is pad level, physicality when tackling, and sometimes he's a bit of a gambler, which if you're using him as your number two corner, I'm okay with that because he's the exact opposite of AJ Terrell, right? AJ Terrell is not a gambler. AJ Terrell is all about positioning and playing the receiver's hands. He doesn't get interceptions, but he gets pass breakups. He keeps the guy from getting the ball. If you want to get a guy on the other side who is going to get you turnovers, might give up a big play here and there, but is willing to go get turnovers, I think that's worth the time. So TJ Tampa, my personal favorite as a second-round pick, but if you're going with a guy like Kyrie Jackson, like Kamari Lassiter, or another one who might be available a little bit later, Cam Hart out of Notre Dame. 6'3", 202. He's got 33-inch arms, although he did run a 4.5 40. But he had a 10-foot, 10-inch broad jump. So he's very explosive as a guy. He's just not super fast. But he's got good length, good top-end speed when he gets underway, smooth in his back pedal, quick on short and intermediate routes, decent recovery and good physicality tackling. There's just he's slow to transition. And his eyes are kind of undisciplined, gets hesitant out of the breaks, kind of costs him here and there. But a cornerback with a frame like that, I think, is worth a risk, especially in the third round, if that's where you're looking at him. One of the other ones I want to highlight is DJ James out of Auburn. He is 175, so he's kind of smaller. 6 feet tall, though. And 4.42 speed. Fluid athlete, right? Good body control. Had a lot of that good stuff. Quick feet and press coverage, which I love press coverage. I'm a press coverage guy. I don't know if Jimmy Lake will run as much press coverage as his predecessor did, but it's good to have corners, I think, that can play in press coverage because it kind of opens up some of the stuff that you want to do. But anyway, DJ James, he's also got really good top end speed, can definitely help, carry receivers down the field, good ball skills with it in the air, playing through the catch point. He's light in the pants is the way that they put it on the scouting report. When taking on blocks, when he's battling position, he can kind of give up ground. And he can also be an ankle biter is what they say. He doesn't necessarily tackle up top. He more dives at the legs, partially because he's light in the pants. So definitely a risk you're taking there. He's mostly coverage, not necessarily much else. Final guy that I want to highlight, Max Melton out of Rutgers. Guy that I've kind of come to know a little bit more, and I really like some of the stuff I've seen on him. If I can pull this, the stuff is not working. He is 5'11", 187, so a little bit bigger than the other guys. 4'3", 940 with a 40.5-inch vertical, so a fantastic athlete, good size, good length. He shows great awareness in zone coverage, and anticipates routes, quickly reacts, plays down on the ball. He's aggressive and physical in the run game, taking on blocks, triggers and fills gaps. He just doesn't necessarily have the recovery speed out of position, which is interesting with his 40 time. So it might be he plays a little slower than he tests, and he can get caught staring at the quarterback too much, can be laid out of his breaks. But he did have 3 interceptions last year, as well as 4 tackles for loss and 6 passes defended. He started 40 games at Rutgers. It was there for a while. His brother is in the NFL, or was in the NFL, Bo Melton. And both his parents played at Rutgers, where his dad was a wide receiver and running back. So he comes from a family of athletes. I'm willing to bet on that kind of, you know, bloodline. Shout out Roman Reigns. Especially since he's the 15th-ranked corner, so you're probably going to get him in the 3rd or 4th round. At minimum, he's depth. At best, I think he can kind of step in and be a capable number 2. The one guy to steer clear of is Kalen King out of Penn State. He is consistently falling down draft boards basically ever since he debuted in like the top 5. He has just been roasted, toasted, and you know, everywhere he's ever played. He got destroyed by Marvin Harrison Jr. And you know, most people get schooled by him, but he was like destroyed. So and there's plenty of other names. I'm not covering everybody because I don't want to bore everybody to death, but if you want to look into them, there's plenty of names to kind of scout out. I gave you the highlights from the top 15 that I liked, guys that I think we should keep an eye on as potential day 2, beginning of day 3 guys that the Falcons could take who may become starters. So that's going to do it for today's Falcons episode. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for listening. If you are interested in any other Atlanta sports podcasts, any other Atlanta sports teams, if you're more of a baseball guy, stick around because the Braves come out typically right after the Falcons episode comes out the next day. If not, it's because the Georgia Tech episode came out and then the Braves come out that next day. Or maybe you're a Hawks fan. Guess what? That comes out on Friday pretty much every week, sometimes Saturday, depending on scheduling. But regardless, it's the one-stop shop, right? I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it, but that's what it is. We're a one-stop shop. If you're a fan of all the Atlanta sports fans, I want you to be able to come to one place to get news and analysis on those teams. I don't want you to have to, you know, I was a podcast listener myself, and I had like 4 different podcasts that I had to subscribe to, and I'm trying to listen to all of them and keep up with all my teams, and I was like, this is exhausting. What if I just had one place to go to where, you know, I get some analysis, I get some breaking news, I get some jokes. And so that's what I created. And so that's what you're here for. So thank you for tuning in. And there's only one way to end these episodes. And the tech fans know, but we'll educate you. And it's a very simple question that we ask us when we see each other. When I see another guy with a tech shirt on, I ask him a very simple question. What's the good word?